You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. Hey, this Monday, May 20th, I'm going to be taping a live Song Exploder interview at WBUR City Space in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm going to be interviewing Fen Lily, whose last album I really loved. If you've ever been curious to hear a full, unedited Song Exploder interview, this is your chance. The folks in the audience will get to hear that and no one else. And then after our conversation, Fen Lily is going to play a few songs. Go to songexploder.net/live to get tickets. I'm also going to be playing a show of my own the day before in Keene, New Hampshire at the Thing in the Spring Festival. That's on Sunday, May 19th, and it's a really great lineup of singer-songwriters that includes Buck Meek from Big Thief and Nina Nastasia, whose album The Blackened Air is one of my all-time favorite Steve Albini recordings. You can find tickets for that at songexploder.net/live also. Okay, hope to see you at one or both of these events in New England. Thanks. When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them, thanks to Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And Song Exploder listeners will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Song Exploder. Terms and conditions apply. In 1996, Josh Davis, aka DJ Shadow, released his first album, Introducing. It's been hailed pretty much universally as one of the best albums of the 90s, and Time magazine included it in its top 100 albums of all time. It changed the face of hip-hop and electronic music, and helped define the trip-hop genre. Now, for the 20th anniversary of the release, DJ Shadow breaks down the song Mutual Slump.
This is Josh Davis, aka DJ Shadow. The record store on the cover of Introducing, called Records, in Sacramento, California, that record store was my muse. If I felt like I ever was kind of hitting a creative brick wall, I would get in my car, I would drive to go to that record store once or twice a week for the entire duration that I was working on the album. And just spend a few hours looking at records, listening to records, and generally without really even trying very hard, I would chance upon something that inevitably unlocked whatever jam I was in creatively. And that's where I found the drums, which come from a European prog jazz record. I think the only part of the original sample that I kind of left pretty much unchanged was the noisy intro, the kind of drum fill with the guitar feedback over the top. I don't like to just loop, you know, a one-bar break. The rhythmic basis, the breakbeat, has to be the strong foundation upon which everything else is built. If you chop a breakbeat and there's five or six different kicks you can use, five or six different snares you can use, what I like to do is alternate between the three or four strongest kicks, the three or four strongest snares, until you've reassembled a kind of super version of the original. The secretive component of sampling and crate digging and looking for beats, looking for samples, goes all the way back to the very beginning of hip-hop culture. DJs who discovered breakbeats that made the audience react had a secret weapon, and DJs used to cover up the artist's name and song titles to protect that knowledge. But again, that culture, as much as I contribute to it and aspire to it, can also be a little bit pretentious. So I always felt that you have to balance the kind of secretive beat digger philosophy of sampling by sampling just, you know, something almost intentionally really obvious. The Bjork album had come out maybe 6 months prior to me starting work on this track. She was kind of a big presence in the UK when I was living there in the summer of 95. I liked the record and I liked the idea of taking what is kind of an obvious sample and putting my own spin on it. One of the things that I liked to play with a lot is taking samples and slowing them way down. For samples that are prone to melancholy anyway, they seem to become even more so when they're slowed way down. At some point it crossed my mind, oh, I wonder what the Bjork sample would sound like over these drums. Realized I would have to pitch it way down, which I was happy to do. And then realized, oh, you know, there's something here. Between the drums and the Bjork sample, I mean, already the song had a certain feel. To me, the song had a foreboding, it had a melancholy, but it also had an anger. During the kind of intense drum break section, there's a little sound, and it just kind of felt like this disoriented, almost kind of a warning sound. And to me, it just fell in line with the energy of the song. I mean, I felt like the song was approaching this kind of almost unhinged place. And that sound inserted in the way that it was between the drums, on one hand was kind of a slick production moment, like something I was proud of on a producer level, but it also touched the right kind of foreboding that the track was conveying already anyway. I wanted to make instrumental music because to me it seemed like a challenge. I wasn't just making beats that sounded like they needed a vocalist on them. I was trying to make arrangements that worked in an instrumental form and kept your attention and evolved. To me, it was almost like a more difficult task. But I didn't want the album to be devoid of words.
I was scared, I have to admit, at first. Never had a cat before.
The female voice on the track is actually my wife. At the time, we were dating, and her name is Lisa. For this part, you kind of have to use your imagination because I recorded the album at Dan the Automator's studio at his house that he was still living in with his parents at the time. The studio was actually contained within a unincorporated part of the house, so you actually had to climb up a ladder, you had to open a hatch, and then you were in this extremely small space that was really only big enough for a mix board, some outboard gear, and a rolling chair. And you couldn't stand up. You would hit your head on the ceiling. And the person who was recording something, whether it was a rapper or, in this case, my now wife, she was in a pitch black area below where I was. And you had to close the hatch again. And they would have to sort of feel where the microphone was and talk.
5 feet under.
But it actually lent itself really well to her just sort of being in a space in her own mind. And I recorded her for probably about 20 minutes.
Do you feel like Darth Vader? And I'm Princess Leia.
She was raised in Japan until age 8 and then came to America. And she talks about literally seeing the movie Xanadu, which would place it at 1980. And she lived in Southern California, so roller skating was a thing. And she's seen people do it in movies. I didn't give her any kind of direction because I knew that the more I said to her, the more it would be contrived. She just kind of steers herself in all these unusual directions and finds herself saying things that, you know, they're odd. I just wanted to try to capture some of that. And then I just sort of sampled the pieces from her dialogue that I felt somehow made sense in the track.
Then I came to America, saw Xanadu. All I wanted to do, roller skate.
the saxophone that kind of runs through the end section, to me, there's a despair and unhinged quality to it. It's kind of a free jazz expression, and with a little bit of needle dropping, it made it even more unhinged. I mean, there's a point where literally I'm picking up the needle and dropping it at random almost. And then the pullback right at the very end before the track rides out. The flute exists in a natural state in the same note structure, but the vibes do not. So I kind of bent the vibes to match the flute. Putting samples in tune with each other was something that I really wanted to achieve in my music. And this is before time stretch technology and pitch bending and stuff like that. It was a factor of luck and a factor of will. I didn't want it to be simple, you know. There's new things happening every 8 bars, every 4 bars, changes and bridges and places where it kind of goes abstract. And then there's time signature changes. And I didn't want it to be intellectual by any means, but I just wanted it to feel different. I wanted other producers to listen to it and be like, how did he do this?
And now here's Mutual Slump by DJ Shadow in its entirety. We'll be right back. Visit songexploder.net to learn more about DJ Shadow and the 20th anniversary deluxe edition of Introducing. On the site, you'll find a link to buy the new edition, which includes the original album, alternate takes, and remixes. This episode is sponsored by Wondery. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire. But when their adoring fans learned about the infamous lip-syncing, their downfall was swift and brutal. With exclusive interviews from frontman Fab Morvan and his producers Frank Farian and Ingrid Segeith, this podcast takes a fresh look at the exploitation of two young black artists. Binge all the episodes of Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, ad-free, right now on Wondery Plus. Song Exploder is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. This message comes from Apple Card. Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City Branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply. You can find all the past and future episodes of Song Exploder at songexploder.net or wherever you download podcasts. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a curated network of extraordinary, cutting-edge shows, made possible by the Knight Foundation, MailChimp, and by listeners like you. Learn more at radiotopia.fm. This episode was produced by Christian Kunz and me. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia. From P.